Every podcast topic is crafted and led with the thought of you in mind. And just like this podcast, I also have a published book. It's called Without Ruin, Pearls of Wisdom for the Triumphant Woman. You know, pearls are so precious you would want to protect them. But the same cannot be said about these pearls of wisdom that I've gained along the way. In my book, I've covered all the bases for living a life free from sexual compromise. I want you to have these pearls and I want you to pass them on to others around you. If this 30-second plug has captured your attention at all, you need to get the book Without Ruin, Pearls of Wisdom for the Triumphant Woman, written by me, your host, Berthina Jackson. Head to Amazon.com to get your copy.
Ladies, your natural instinct is to worry. You worry about your children, your health, your relationship, and everything else under the sun. It's a classic case of worry wart syndrome. If you tend to worry needlessly, you are not alone. Welcome to the She Strives With Faith podcast with Berthina Jackson. Berthina is a two-time divorcee, single mother, and war veteran who suffered from anxiety, but learned to let go and let God. Berthina will share captivating and down-to-earth conversations on how to strive by faith. Here's your host, Berthina Jackson.
Hello, fabulous ladies. Welcome to the She Strives With Faith podcast. I'm your host, Lady B. Celeste. And today we're diving into a topic that's as essential as your daily coffee fix, women's mental health. In this episode, I want you to mind your sanity. I have dedicated this episode to women's well-being and empowerment. Let's start by acknowledging that it's okay not to be okay sometimes. Life can throw us curveballs and we all face our own unique challenges. But here's the thing. Seeking help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. It's taking charge of your mental well-being and saying, I deserve to be happy and healthy. Mental illness is when something goes wrong with the way our minds work, impacting our feelings, thoughts, and actions. It covers a wide range of issues from feeling down to more severe problems like schizophrenia. Let's define mental illness as something that makes it hard for a person to think, feel, deal with life, and act in the right way. You see, our brain is like our other body parts. It can get sick or damaged. Mental illness can also affect how we see God and others and can even lead to bad behavior. But God understands our struggles and He can help us learn to manage mental illness and even get better. Even today, doctors are still trying to understand mental illness fully. They figured out mental illness can be caused by many things, such as eating, exercising, and sleeping can also affect our mental health. If we don't get enough of the right foods, if we're not exercising and sleeping and getting enough hours of sleep, it can mess with our mental health. Now, doctors believe the right medicine and therapy can help ease the problems. I agree with that. Now, other times, mental illness comes from bad things that happened to us when we were young, like trauma or sexual or physical abuse. Some of us learned ways to cope with those bad times that aren't helpful as adults. Now, me personally, I experienced childhood sexual trauma. So sex became my coping mechanism. Sex became addictive. I guess you could say I was like Nola Darling in the movie She's Gotta Have It. Yeah, for real. So if you haven't seen that movie, go watch it and don't judge me. Anyway, mental health issues are a major problem these days. And I've observed numerous individuals involved in serious criminal acts that have led to their lengthy imprisonment because of mental illness. I don't want to come across as judgmental, but it really irks me when I see women on social media openly discussing their involvement in paid sexual encounters with multiple men. I just recently found out about a site called OnlyFans, which is an internet content subscription service that's based in London, United Kingdom. The site is used primarily by sex workers or prostitutes, if you ask me, who produce pornography. But it also says it hosts the work of other content creators. Okay, I'm not here to agree or disagree. But here's the thing. I'm curious about this. When in the heck did society start considering prostitution as a legitimate and respectable profession? I mean, come on. I know prostitution ain't new. It's actually known as the oldest profession. Prostitution has always been a way for women to earn money, even way back in Bible days. However, the Bible says prostitution is considered morally wrong. Back then, women were hiding the fact that they were prostitutes. And not only that, involving yourself in prostitution can lead to increased stress, anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress disorder. Okay, there was a study conducted in the U.S. that found that 68% of people who sell sex reported symptoms of depression, and 55% reported symptoms of anxiety. That's huge. Those are big numbers. So God discourages involvement with prostitutes because he knows it's harmful to both men and women. In Proverbs chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, it's mentioned, "For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet lead to death, her steps take hold of hell." Wow. Listen. Prostitution doesn't just harm marriages, families, and lives. It also damages the spirit and soul, ultimately leading to physical and spiritual downfall. Any woman who claims that engaging in sexual encounters with unfamiliar men doesn't cause mental harm is likely not considering the potential emotional and psychological consequences of those encounters. She's lying if she's saying there's some benefit to this other than money. Okay, but what woman sells her soul for the love of money? It's just not right. Any woman that is using her body to make money or to get attention from men is not practicing self-love. I believe that there is often an underlying pain behind every woman who engages in sexual activity outside of marriage. And it's likely that trauma is the driving force behind her actions. I think trauma is driving these women to do what they do. I don't know if you agree or disagree. Maybe you can send me, inbox me on Facebook and let me know. Now, here's another aspect often overlooked in treating mental health issues. Sometimes what we label as mental illness has a spiritual dimension that we shouldn't ignore. If we're not spiritually connected to God, it can leave us feeling incomplete. And then what do? We try to fill that void with other things. But those other things usually fall short, making our mental health struggles worse and not better. So we as women, we must take the first step towards spiritual wholeness. And this involves believing in Jesus Christ. Ladies, we can't be afraid to get help. Getting help from a pro, be it a therapist, counselor, or shrink, can be a game changer. It's like having your own personal life coach for your mind. And if you're going through rough symptoms that have been hanging around for 2 weeks or more, like difficulty sleeping, appetite changes that result in unwanted weight changes, you're struggling to get out of bed in the morning because of your mood, you have difficulty concentrating, there's a loss of interest in things you usually find enjoyable, or you may be unable to perform usual daily functions and responsibilities. If any of these things become severe and persistent, please get help. Don't let your symptoms build up until they become too much to handle. You know, I visit my psychiatrist every 2 to 3 months, not because I'm currently facing challenges, but as part of self-care. You see, there was a time when I used to see her monthly because I was dealing with anxiety related to my experiences in Iraq, particularly after the loss of my dear friend, Ramona Valdez, during a Marine Corps mission. She was on a mission in Iraq when she, Anyway, she's in a better place now. She's with my Heavenly Father, and I truly miss her. But I know God's got her. My doctor helped me cope using cognitive behavioral therapy. Cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT for short, is a type of counseling or therapy that helps people change their thoughts and actions to feel better. It works by teaching you to recognize and understand your negative thoughts and how they can make you feel bad. Then it shows you how to replace those negative thoughts with more positive and helpful ones. By doing this, CBT can help you deal with problems or emotions in a healthy way. Now, y'all know I love the Bible because the Bible teaches wisdom. It helps you to deal with a lot of life's problems. And in the Bible, there are remarkable stories of women facing mental anguish and distress, but relied on faith, resilience, and divine intervention to see them through. First, there's Hannah, the mother of Samuel, who experienced profound sorrow because she couldn't have children. Hannah turned to prayer with unwavering commitment, vowing to dedicate her child to the Lord if she could conceive. And guess what? God answered her prayer. And you can read about that in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And then in the book of Ruth, there's Naomi, who endures significant suffering, losing her husband and both sons. Can you imagine losing your husband and your children? And this left her in a deep period of grief. She was grieving the loss of her husband and sons. She even changed her name to reflect her sorrow. But amid her hardships, Naomi's story also highlights the unwavering loyalty and love of her daughter-in-law, Ruth, who stood by her side. Ultimately, the blessings of God and Ruth's faithfulness brought Naomi joy and restoration. And who can forget about the nameless woman with the issue of blood in the New Testament? You can read about her in Mark chapter 5. Verses 25 through 34. She had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years. And this caused her a lot of distress and it led to her social isolation. So can you imagine she can't be around people? She can't be around her family. That's crazy. That will cause me to have some mental problems for real. But what I love about this story is that her solution was to approach Jesus with unshakable faith, believing that simply touching his garment would bring healing. Jesus praised her faith and miraculously she was healed. Can you imagine bleeding nonstop for 12 years? I could barely deal with it once a month. When I went into menopause 2 years ago, you would have thought I had won the lottery. Yes. That's how happy I was. These women, their stories are powerful examples of faith, resilience, and the pursuit of divine help. Just because it was before our time doesn't mean we still can't learn from what they went through. I have lived enough of life to know that I cannot control one iota of my circumstances. So when a dark season descends upon my life, I try to do everything that I can to be as physically, emotionally, and spiritually healthy as possible. Listen, hard times pull more out of me than I'm willing to give. And I need my reserves to be full to overflowing, because my reserves tend to get depleted more rapidly when I'm carrying a heavy burden. I learned some valuable lessons from the story of the woman with the issue of blood in the Bible. I learned some important things about managing mental and emotional health. Even though the primary focus of her story is physical healing, I still was able to pull some wisdom out of there. So here are some key lessons we can draw from her experience. Number one, seeking help. The woman with the issue of blood took the initiative to seek help for her condition. When facing emotional or mental health challenges, it's essential to reach out to professionals, friends, or support networks. Seeking help is a proactive step towards healing. Number two, faith and hope. Her story highlights the power of faith and hope. Believing in the possibility of healing, whether physical or emotional, can be a source of strength. Maintaining hope, even in difficult times, is vital for mental health. Number three, persistence. The woman's persistence is evident as she pressed through the crowd to reach Jesus. Managing mental health often requires persistence and resilience. It's essential. It's important to continue seeking help, coping strategies and self-care, even when progress may seem slow. Number four, courage to share. This woman openly shared her story with Jesus. Sharing your struggles with trusted individuals can be liberating and help in the healing process. Vulnerability is a sign of strength, not weakness. Number five, believing in healing. The woman believed that touching Jesus' garment would bring healing. Belief in the possibility of recovery is crucial for managing mental health. Positive thinking and self-compassion can have a profound impact on well-being. Number six, healing connections. She recognized the connection between her actions and her healing. Managing mental health often involves understanding the connection between your choices, support networks, and healing processes. Identifying helpful resources and habits is key. Number seven, compassion and acceptance. Jesus's response was filled with compassion and acceptance. So I tell you, I advise you, surround yourself with a supportive and a compassionate network. And I'm telling you, your mental health will get better. Be kind and compassionate to yourself as well. Don't forget about you. Number eight, community and belonging. The woman with the issue of blood sought healing with a community. Building a support network and finding a sense of belonging is essential for our mental health. And then finally, self-advocacy. She took the initiative to seek healing. Nobody told her to do it. Okay, not her mother, her father, her aunts, cousins. She did it. So, managing mental illness often involves advocating for yourself, whether it's with a healthcare provider, therapist, or support networks. So let me leave you with this. The woman with the issue of blood, her story reminds us that healing and transformation are possible, and there is hope in the face of adversity. The woman with the issue of blood's story primarily focused on physical healing, but the principles of faith, hope, persistence, seeking help, and self-advocacy are valuable lessons that we can apply, that we can learn from to manage mental and emotional health. So girlfriend, your mental health is a treasure and it deserves your attention and care. Seeking help when needed is a sign of strength and self-love. Okay? So I hope this conversation was helpful to you. Before we wrap it up, I want to pray with you. Heavenly Father, giver of life and health, comfort and relieve those challenged by serious and chronic mental and emotional illnesses. Give your power of healing to those who minister to their needs, that they may be strengthened in their weakness and have confidence in your loving care through Jesus Christ our Lord. All right, beautiful. That's it for now. Thank you for listening to the She Strives with Faith podcast. If you enjoyed the podcast, please share with family and friends. Have a phenomenal day. Until next time, bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the She Strives with Faith podcast. To hear more about how you can tap into the power of striving with faith, join her next week. If you found value in the episode, give her a rating or tell a friend about the show. Follow Berthina on Facebook and Instagram for a more personal chat. Until next time, strive to keep faith alive.
Thank you so much for listening. It was really great spending time with you. Once again, I'm Berthina Jackson, author of Without Ruin, Pearls of Wisdom for the Triumphant Woman, purchasable at Amazon.com. Feel free to reach out to me on Facebook and Instagram. I look forward to hearing from you. Till next time, Berthina.